Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that had shewed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. You know, as we look at this little parable or this story, I believe the Lord, when he says, Go and do likewise, I believe he could say this: the Lord gave the example. The Lord himself was the example. So as we think about this, you know, we thought this morning about loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he also says this. It doesn't say this exactly, but it's implied. And love thy neighbor. You know, that's not written there. But in the context of the verse, isn't that what he's saying? To love thy neighbor as thyself. So the word love in this context, it means this: giving all thyself for the benefit of another. So you think God loved the world? Did God love the world? Well, he gave all of himself for the benefit of another, didn't he? So he tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. And the rich young lawyer says, Lord, who is my neighbor? So he gives us a picture. I believe the picture is humanity. I believe that's the picture. So as this man is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, he falls among thieves. And we read this. We read these words that the devil is a thief, that he's a robber. And you know, his intent is to kill. Now, about this scripture. So he fell among thieves, and that which stripped him of his raiment. So what would you say the devil did to the first man? He had no raiment to start with, did he? None whatsoever. But he was innocent. He wasn't ashamed. With no raiment on, naked before God, he was unashamed. Isn't that right? But the devil come, and what did the devil do? He didn't strip away his raiment. He stripped away his innocency. He stripped away, you might say, well, now he didn't do it. Adam sinned. I realize that. I realize that. And the devil provoked, and the devil tempted, and the devil deceived Eve, and the devil was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Isn't that true? So can you see right here that as this man is going from Jerusalem to Jericho, that the thief comes by and steals his raiment and robs him. Robbed mankind, the devil did, of our innocency. Robbed us of our righteousness. Robbed us, and you know where he left us? He left us naked before God. Left us by the word of God. He says this, and he stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. So his raiment, his covering has been taken away. And that is the way that it is for mankind. The devil come by with his lies, and I was born in that condition. You were born in that. We were born in a condition by the word of God. We were left half dead. Now, what half is dead? The eternal part and the spiritual part. As our brother said, the spiritual part. Brother Paul said in the book of Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. But I want us to think a little farther on that. And he stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. But know this, friend. The devil stripped Adam of his innocency. The liar and the deceiver. You and I were brought into this world in that condition. And I want you to think about this. Before God, man is born in a condition that he is half dead. He is born in a condition that he is completely dead to God. He is 100% dead before God. But if the Lord Jesus does not come, you will die completely. Can you see that? Can you see that when we die naturally, there's no other hope after that day? We're half dead and half alive today. If you're unsaved, thank God that you're still alive. There's more hope of a live dog than there is of a dead lion. I don't care how great or how mighty or what your name is, when we die, all hope is gone. But know this, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come into that life, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come and do a work in this man's life, though he is half dead, without the work of Jesus Christ, we're going to be completely. And Paul said, I would that these men, that these were all together as I am, almost and all together as I am, yet without these chains. Know this. When we die, we're not only going to be half dead, we're going to be completely and altogether dead eternally. We're going to die naturally, and friend, that part that is dead now, there will be no other opportunity for that to be quickened. But the Lord Jesus Christ, look at the Word of God. So the Levite came, the priest came, and you know something? Naturally speaking, they should have helped this man. That's the truth. Naturally speaking, the Lord said, if you see the man laying in the ditch and he's your enemy, you go help him. You got a man whose ass is under a burden and fell down under the burden. His donkey, his mule, his ass is under a burden and falling down. If he's your enemy, you go help him. There was a natural requirement. But you know what we've come to? In this day right here, the priest and the Levite are not concerned. I'll tell you what they're concerned about. They're concerned about their position. They're concerned that they're not defiled. They're concerned that they're not hindered in their worship of God. But you know what all that is? All of that is formalism. There's no compassion here. But know this, spiritually speaking, there is no compassion in the law. There's no compassion in the priesthood. There's no compassion with the Levite. No compassion with the priesthood under the law and under the prophet. There is no compassion. There is nothing that can be done. I tell you where we're left. We're left in the same state that the Levite found him. He's left in the same state. The law leaves us in a place. I believe you could even say this, that the law brings us to a place of a greater revelation of how dead that we really are. A friend, outside of the law, thank God for the law. Thank God, I believe it was grace that sent the law. You say, preacher, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. If it hadn't been for the law, I would have stayed in the condition I was in and died in my sins and went to hell. But thank God for the law that convinced me, no question whatsoever, by the law I was going to die and go to hell. And that law of God, by the grace of God that sent the law, He brought me to another grace, to the grace that was gifted through the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is going to die completely. A friend, under the law and under the prophets and under the Levite, this man is not going to be just half dead, but this man without Christ coming to the world is going to die completely and eternally. Now remember what loving your neighbor is. Giving all of yourself for the benefit of another. Look at the Samaritan. The Levite, when he was at the place, looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan... Now listen to this. You might think, well, preacher, that's silly. But listen to what the Bible says in 8 and 48 in the book of John. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? You know what he accused them of? They was trying to kill him. Was that true? Absolutely. And they called him a Samaritan. Isn't that something, how that fits into the Word of God? Here's a man that's a half-breed. Here's a man, and I don't mean that disrespectful, but here is a man that's a son of God, and here's a man that's the son of man. Here is a man that was born of Mary and conceived by the Holy Spirit. Here is the Christ man. Here is the God man. And here is the man who has compassion. There's no compassion under Moses' law. No, Ikea, that was written on tables of stone. There, I ask you this. Go up there and hold on to the rock. Go up there and hold on to the Ten Commandments and written on tables of stone. Do you find any compassion, any warmth there, any compassion there, anything to hug you, anything to soothe you, anything that you might feel any comfort in, but the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what you can do. My friend, you can wrap your arms around Him and you can feel the love of God. You can wrap your arms around Him and your arms are wrapped around one, my friend, that was tempted like you are. Your arms are wrapped around one that was tempted in everything that you and I'll deal with. He's a priest who can be touched with the very feelings of our infirmity. I thank God for the compassion that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. No compassion in the law. No compassion under that priesthood. But under our new high priest, praise God, there's compassion. There's warmth. There's acceptance. There's mercy. There's grace. If it hadn't have been for Him, we wouldn't have remained half dead. We would have become fully dead. But know this, if you're saved today, you know what you've come from? You come from half dead to completely alive. You are complete. The Word of God, you know what Jesus said to Mary? Believe in me and thou shalt never die. If thou believest in me, you shall never die. I tell you this, friend. I've done all the dying that I'm going to do. I realize Paul said we die daily. I realize that. You know where that's at? This is that. That's in this man you're looking at right here. In the outward, a fleshly man, of a carnal man, of a man that's been unredeemed. But my soul, ladies and gentlemen, I shall never die. I have already died. I've had a part in the first resurrection, and I'm not going to die. Because of Him. Because of Him. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, now who are they? They're hated, aren't they? Aren't they hated? They're despised, rejected, half-breeds. Nobody got any use for them. But you know, isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus said, I must needs go down to Samaria. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you talk about as far as in the eyes of the religious world, where was he going? He was going to go down and he was going to rake out down in the bottom of the barrel. He was going to rake out of the dregs, out of the scum, out of the filth, out of the mire, out of that nobody else would have put their hand to. Nobody else would have sat down and talked to a woman who had had a husband and was living with a man. I tell you what he did. He went down there out to bring her into the family of God, out of because he had compassion. You know what he did? I believe you could say this in the eyes of that crowd. He soiled his reputation by going down there. But you know something? It didn't soil him one bit. I mean, the lepers can touch him. It doesn't hinder him one bit. The Samaritan woman can touch him. Doesn't hinder him one bit. A woman who is an exceeding sinner down at Simon's house, I cover him with oil and wash his feet with the hair on her head. It doesn't soil him one bit. Thank God, I tell you, friend, he is a compassionate high priest. He is the good Samaritan. He's the one that's the God-man and the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he came to where you and I were, a friend, that he might love us. He gave of himself. Oh, I ask you, what have I benefited him? Nothing. All of the benefit, I'm the recipient. You're the recipient. All that he did was for our benefit. Love. Love giving all thyself for the benefit of another. And he came, and listen to how the Word of God says this. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, where did he come from? I tell you, he came from heaven down to earth. He came from heaven down to earth that you and I might know what it is to know the love of God. He came from heaven to earth, a friend, seeing you and I in our nakedness, seeing us in our dead condition, seeing us half dead, realizing that if he didn't come, there was no hope for me, no hope for you, no hope for humanity, no hope for the world, however you want to look at it. Friend, we were going to die in our sins and die and go to hell. Friend, outside of the Lord Jesus coming to where we were. And did he come to where we were? Psalmist said he did. The psalmist said in the 40th Psalm, he said this, and I waited patiently upon the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord. Let me tell you this, friend. There's no other hope. He wasn't waiting or looking for him. The only hope that he had is that the Lord would come by. That's the truth. He wasn't looking for the Lord in that sense. It was the only hope that there would ever be is that God come to where he was. The 40th Psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord, my help, my hope, and he inclined. He stretched out. A friend, he stretched out and he heard my cry. You know what brought me to that? You know why I cried? I tell you, it was because of the law. It was because the Levite come by, because the priest come by, and friend, you know, that's where my hope was. Their hope was to find compassion in Moses' law. No compassion there. No hope there. I mean, they're going to make an offering. Well, let me tell you this, friend. That offering's not going to make us alive. That offering's just going to put the judgment of God out for another year. And friend, next year we're going to have to do it again. And when we leave this world, friend, we're going to die eternally and everlastingly. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to where we were. And friend, through and by the grace of God sending the law, he brought me to a place that I cried out. And listen to what the Bible says. And he brought me up. He didn't drop me a rope. He didn't send the preacher to get me. He didn't send mom or daddy to get me. He came himself to where I was. And he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Can you see this? Can you see that humanity is sinking lower and lower in sin? That's the miry clay. It's not a pit, not literally, but it's given us a picture of man's condition before God. He's in a pit that he can't get out of. He is in the pit of sin. He is in the pit that is going downward. You know what? As Anthony, I was talking the other day, a friend, about being able to get up on your back in quicksand. You might be able to get out, but I'll tell you what man's going to do. A man's going to wiggle and squirm around, and friend is going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into sin every day. And if it wasn't for the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to us as he journeyed, he's on a journey, he's on a pilgrimage from heaven to earth with a purpose. This is his purpose. He has a purpose. What is his purpose? Listen to what the Bible said. And as he journeyed, he came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. Do you remember this? You remember when Jesus looked out over the multitude and the Bible said he had compassion on them, for they were as sheep having no shepherd. His heart was moved on them. He realized their condition. He saw that there was no one to care. There was no one to care for them. The law can't care. Moses can't care. The prophets can't care. The Levitical system can't care. Oh no, there's no compassion there. But in the Lord Jesus Christ is compassion. The Lord Jesus, in Ezekiel chapter 16, you know what we see? We see a little baby thrown out into the open field. We see a little baby. Now you tell me, a friend, that I can save myself? No, ma'am, and no, sir. I tell you, he came to where I was. There I was, wallowing in my blood, going down in the pit, seeking and going farther and farther away from God. And he came to where I was, and he covered me up. He spread his skirt over me. He loved me and had compassion on me, a friend, because he gave himself for another. That's what Jesus is doing. So, and he came where he was. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 4. Listen to these words. And surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, when they looked at him on the cross, a friend, there was no compassion, nothing about him that would make you desire him, nothing about him that would make you want him. I mean, when he's hanging there between two thieves, you know what the world thinks? Why, he's just like one of us. He's just a thief, got caught up with. He's a rebeller. But you know what he was? He was taking my punishment. He was on the cross because of me. He was on the cross for my sin. What was he doing? He was being a neighbor. He was loving me like a neighbor. He was loving me, and all that he was doing was for the benefit of me. All that he was doing on the cross was for my benefit. All that he was doing, all that he did, even the determinate counsel of God that you by wicked hands have taken and crucified, he did that for me and he did that for you. Folks, we may be half dead today, but without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's coming a day we're going to be all together and completely dead. You've got a few days. You've got a few days to believe this word of God. A few days to realize you're a sinner. A few days to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do a work in your heart. To do a work in the heart of those that will believe the word of God. He had compassion, and by this word of God, he says, and he had compassion on him, and he went to him. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you this, friend, that it was the Lord that come to me on a Sunday morning. It was the Lord that come and pricked my heart. It was the Lord that come and called me. It was the Lord. Did I hear an audible voice in my human ear? No, I did not. But I tell you what I did. Friend, I heard the voice of God down in the depths of my heart and my soul. And I felt His hand. I felt His Spirit drawing me and drawing me unto Himself. And no man, by the Word of God, no man can come unto God unless no man can come unto me unless my Father draw him. Thank God for the drawing power. But you know what He did? He came to where I was. He came to the ditch. He came to the pit. He came up and I'll tell you what He did. He took on Him the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, our friend, He made an offering unto God that satisfied the righteousness of God. For me. Who's my neighbor? I ask you this. Will you accept His gift? Are you a sinner? Are you half dead? Are you dead before God? And He went to him and bound up his wounds. And pouring in oil and wine, you know what Rita said over here a few minutes ago, her daughter-in-law got saved, never had peace. You talk about a pouring in, a soothing of the wounds. You talk about a bringing you to a place, a friend, where your stripes are healed. By His stripes I was healed. A friend, through His blood, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can have peace with God. And what's He doing? I tell you, He's pouring that. Now think, who's got the oil? Who's got the wine? He does. He is the oil and the wine. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. A picture there maybe of two people laying on two gurneys or two beds, and the blood of one is coming out of this man and going into the other. There is a coming out. I'll tell you what, you know what Jesus said about the woman who had the issue of blood? He perceived that virtue went out of him. What was going on there? I tell you, what was in him was being infused and put into that woman that had the issue of blood. The Lord Jesus here, a type and a shadow, as we look, and he went unto him and bound up his wounds, pouring in wool and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. You know, I look here, folks. What does it take for us to be cured? What does it take for us to be made alive? Well, they just sung a few minutes ago, all my hope. What is my hope in? My hope is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. I'm not Aaron's lamb. I'm not that lamb, a friend, that was put out on the Day of Atonement. I'm not that lamb. I'm talking about the lamb that John saw coming down the road. I behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That lamb. By the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb, He poured in. Listen to what the book says. And He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. I thought about this a little. You know, when the Lord Jesus come, as we read over in the Revelation, we see a white horse rider. And what's going out of this white horse rider? A sword. The Word of God. And I believe you could say it like this, that the Word of God in the ministry of Jesus Christ was riding on the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit, right? But what did He do for us? When He went away, He said, I'm going away and I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to let you ride on the beast that I've ridden on. I'm going to let you ride on my victorious beast. I'm going to let you, from the time of my salvation till I leave here, you know what I'm going to ride on? I'm going to ride on the Word, friend, on the one that carried the Lord Jesus Christ through His ministry Isn't that true? Didn't the Holy Ghost, why, preacher, he was God in flesh. Well, let me ask you this then. Why did the Spirit come down and dwell on him and never leave him? So, when you were saved, did not God give you something to carry you through this world? I mean, we're in battles, folks. We're in battles. We need a swift beast, don't we? Don't we need someone to carry us? I'm not talking about a horse. No, I'm not talking about a horse. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of God. I'm talking about, friend, when he said, I'm going away, he said, I'm going to leave you one. I'm going to come down now. I'm going to get off of my beast. And I'm going to put you on what I've been riding on. Thank God, you know what he did? He didn't leave me comfortless. He didn't leave me without a comforter. He didn't leave me without a Savior. He didn't leave me without a help. He didn't leave me without affirmation. He left the Holy Spirit to carry me through this life. And for you as well. Now he got off. He got off of his beast. And he put the half dead man on his beast. And now listen a little more. And he brought him to an inn and took care of him. You know, I believe you could say this. For that little period of time, from Jesus' resurrection till his ascension, you know, he was there with the disciples. But on day number 50, he's gone for 10 days and he sent back the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came and lit on them. Like it did with Christ. It covered them. It came into them like cloven tongues of fire and dwelled on them. And friend, you know what they were that day? I tell you, they were enabled. They were equipped. They were clothed. You remember that? You see, this man is naked. This man is half dead. Think with me for just a minute. Listen. Luke 24. He's getting ready to leave. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That means to be vested. This man has been divested. This man has been left naked. This man has had his raiment taken off of him. But you know what the Lord said? I'm going away. You tarry at Jerusalem until I clothe you, till I let the Holy Spirit of God clothe you. You're going to be vested in the work, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And this man, ladies and gentlemen, this man, this good Samaritan that came, you know what he's going to do? I tell you, friend, that he is going to go away, but he's going to leave something. He's going to clothe him. You and I have been clothed with the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, just a little more and I'll hush. Just a little more. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And he said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay it. So, 2 pence is like 2 denarii. 2 days' wages, whether Roman or pence, maybe the way the Samaritans counted money. But it's equal to about a half a shekel. Read with me in Exodus. Exodus chapter 30, verse 16. Exodus 30, verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shalt thou give every man a ransom for his soul. How are you going to ransom your soul? You can't do it, can you? But listen to the type and shadow. Every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. So they're giving this to the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them, this they shall give. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is a 20 gerahs, and a half a shekel shall be the offering unto the Lord. What are they doing? He's give two shekels. So the shekel, a half a shekel, was the price that was brought from everybody to offer a lamb every day. It was the upkeep of the daily offering. Can you see that every day there was an offering made unto God? And it's for the redemption of the Israelite. This half a shekel is for the redemption of the Israelite. So what would you think? What do you think these two shekels may represent? Maybe we could say, well, the two shekels represent the law and the grace. But there was no redemption in the law, was there? No redemption there. But what if we looked at the Old Testament and the New Testament? What if there was two shekels? What if there was redemption in the Old Testament? Is there redemption in the Old Testament? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, there's redemption in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying under the law. I'm saying under the Old Testament, there is redemption. What about Ruth? Was she redeemed? She was redeemed, wasn't she? What about the grace of God when David sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband killed? Was there grace there? There was redemption there, even in the Old Testament. So think about this. So the two shekels, maybe they could represent the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they are the redemption of Israelite. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 8, Then he said, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. There's the redemption. In the Old Testament, what's it written about? When he was on the road to Emmaus, what did they talk about? The law and the prophets, and you know what he did? He opened it up and he said, they're all speaking about me. There's the redemption in Israel. There, ladies and gentlemen, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer of all of Israel. By his death. Listen to just one verse, just another minute or two. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, And he being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now remember what love is, love thy neighbor. Giving all of thyself for the benefit of another. Philippians 2 and 8, And being found in fashion as a man, did he come down? I tell you, he came down. He left his position. He left, friend, the glory of heaven and came down, humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Friend, there is my redemption. There is your redemption. There is a love that is giving all of oneself for the benefit of somebody else. You may be half dead today. But outside of the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're coming to a place that you'll be altogether and completely dead, separated from God forever. While there's opportunity, God help us to understand where we are. What if I owe something? I'll tell you this. He paid it all. I've said that before. He paid it all. Anything owed when I get back, he said, I'll take care of it. Know this, friend. There will be nobody pay on your bill but Jesus. You're not going to pay on your bill. The church ain't going to pay on your bill. Mom and daddy ain't going to pay on your bill. I'm the only person that's ever going to pay on your bill is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said if he owes anything, I'll take care of it. Thank God he paid it all. Finished.